Today's daf is Erev in Daf Chav Vav, and we are about 15 lines from the top of Daf Chav Vav Omer Aleph, the two dots, Omer Rabbi Loi, Shamati Rabbi Eliezer, Vafilu Beis Kor. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo Ben Sara Aliza, and today's daf is being learned Le'ilui Nishmas Rav Nachman Ben Rabbi Yosef Zechroina Levracha. So we're continuing to discuss the halachas of Karfif. A Karfif is a term that was used by Chazal to describe an area that midairaisa has a din of a reshus hayachid. It's mukif at the very least three mechitzos. However, it wasn't mukif ledira. The usage of the karfif was not for your typical residential purposes. And it's for that reason the Chachamim said that even though it's technically a reshus hayachid, however, we're going to limit the usage of it. How so? The Chachamim said that if it's up to Beis Hasayim, the Ad Bechlal, 5,000 square amis, you're allowed to be metaltal there, the way you're allowed to be metaltal in any Rishos Hayachid. If, however, it's Yosemi Beis Hasayim, it's more than 5,000 square amis, then you're not allowed to carry. In other words, it has the halacha of a Carmelis. So in order for something to fit into this halacha of Karfif, that's a problem, you need to check off two boxes. Number one, it has to be Yosem Mibes Asayim. And number two, it has to be Loi Hukaf Ladira. The Mishnah and Daf Chav Gimel Amid Aleph said that Rabbi Loi, who was a Talmud of Rabbi Eliezer, as in Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkinus, as in Rabbi Eliezer Agadol, he said, Shamatim Rabbi Eliezer, I heard a chiddush from Rabbi Eliezer, that even though so much of Masechtas Erevin talks about this infamous karfif, however, I heard from Rabbi Eliezer that the karfif is allowed to be yoisim ibeis asayim. In fact, afilu hi beis kor, even if it's a beis kor, which would translate into 30 beisah, which is 15 times the size of Beis Hasayim. Even then, the halach is you're allowed to be metaltal. Now, it sounds like if it'd be a little bit bigger than that, then it already would be an issue. But either way, Rabbi Loi said, that's what I was mekabel from Rabbi Eliezer. This Mishnah is the loike chananya. Tanya related to the Raisa chananya. Yom chananya said, vafilu hi arboim sa. Even if the karfif would be 40 sa, meaning not Beis Hasayim, not a base core, which is 30 saw, but even if it's bigger than that, even if it would be 40 saw, Kesirat Yashal Melech, like the road or the big yard that the Melech has behind this palace, even then, the Allah is it would be okay. So in what way is the Mishnah not like Chananya? Because our Mishnah brought an extreme Shita, a Shita Mechudeshes, in the name of Rabbi Eliezer Agadol, which was 30 saw. The truth is, there's a bigger Shia. Chananya had a Braisa, but Chananya said 40 saw. So Masnisin is the like Chananya. This machloikis, whether the outside share is 30 saw or 40 saw, is really totally in how you read a pasuk. The pasuk says, "Vayhi shayo lo yotza chatzer hatichayna." The context is very well known. In fact, it's better known from Brachis Daf Yud than it is from Erevin Daf Chavav. Chizkiyo HaMelech was very sick. He wasn't oisik in the mitzvah of Puravu, and Hashem sent Yeshaya Hanavi to go talk to Chizkiyo to give him mussar to see that, you know, maybe he would do tshuva. The pasuk says that Yeshayo was in the Chatzer HaTichayna. He was in that area, and Hashem came to him, and he had a nevuah. Now, the kri and the ksiv of that pasuk are not aligned, because ksiv ha'ir, if you look in the pasuk inside, it says that we're with Yeshayo. So again, he's in this yard that's outside the palace, and the pasuk refers to it as a city. But the karina, and the way you would read it, is Chatzer. So there seems to be some equation between an ear and a Chatzer. So the Gemara says, you learn from here, Mikan, that these yards that the kings had in their palace, they were so big, they were literally like an average-sized city. So the Gemara says, okay, so what then is the machloikis? But Michael, if we give Mar Savar, Ayoris, Beinonius, Havim, Beiskor, Umar Savar, Arbon, Sahavim. In other words, this pasuk is a makar that something can be called a chatzar, even if it's Yoisami, Beis Hasayim. It can be called a chatzar, not just a chatzar, a karfif, because these yards were technically karfifos. It can be called a karfif, even if it's much bigger than that. How much bigger? If it's the size of an average city. Here we have the makar to the machloikis. The average city is 30 saw, the average city is 40 saw. That was machloikis. Rabbi Loi was mekabel for Rabbi Eliezer 30 saw, based on that being the average size of a city, whereas Chananya had 40 saw, and that's how he came up with his number. The Gemara said, Shayo, my boy, so what was Shayo doing over there in the Chatzar? He was drengzich in the Chatzar. He was supposed to come to Chizkiyo. He had a job to do. He knew he had to give him mussar. What's he spatsiring in the Chatzar? This is Yishayo. Amar Rabbi Bar Bachana, Amar Rabbi Yoich. Malamid, we learn from here, Shechalach Hizkiyo, V'holach Yeshayo, L'hoishiv Yeshiva al-Pisrei. The reason he was there, because he was telling about a program. He was telling about a yeshiva. That's what Yeshayo was doing there. Mikan, we learn from here, L'tamud Chacham Shechalach, V'tamud Chacham, Yisik Shemayshiv and Yeshiva al-Pisrei. That it's considered a yeshua, it's considered a school for this Tamud Chacham, for you to set up a yeshiva. And that's what Yeshayo was doing there. Zakhti Gemara, stating that, V'lav Milsi. However, you should know, this is not Halacha L'maisa. Meaning, if Talmud Chacham is Chalu, you should not do this. And the reason is, Dilma Asa, Le'gruye Be'Satan. Because by you doing that, you're actually racing on the Satan. And that's never a good thing. In fact, the Satan is the Malach HaMavis, and the person that's sick, he's looking for protection from the Malach HaMavis. So the last thing you want to do is poke the Malach HaMavis. You don't want to awaken a sleeping giant. So it says the Gemara that even though Yeshayo did this, however, don't try this at home. V'lav Milsi, Dilma Asa, Le'gruye Be'Satan. You have to read the fine print. This is not something that you're supposed to do. Rashi says, what's the makar to do this? To shtel aveki yeshiva, the makayim where you have a chayla, is the precedence for this? Like, where does this even come from? So Rashi says that the makar to this is because if the Talmidim will be in yeshiva, they'll be learning Torah, lo yehei reshus l'malach ha-moves l'kones l'sham. And that's the objective. The objective is that the malach ha-moves shouldn't be able to come there. Torah is a protection from the malach ha-moves. And because it's a protection from the malach ha-moves, that's what this trick was. Now the truth is, this idea that Torah is a protection for the malach ha-moves is something that you find in many places in Shas. You have the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos Daf Lamed with David HaMelech. The malach ha-moves was trying to kill David, and every Shabbos David HaMelech knew he was going to die on Shabbos. He asked Hashem, tell me the day I'm going to die, and Hashem granted in his wish. And every Shabbos he used to sit and learn Torah, and the Malach HaMavis had to come up with a tachbula, a strategy to finally take David HaMelech's neshama. Why? Because David HaMelech was learning Torah, and as long as he learned Torah, the Torah protected him. The Gemara says in Makis Daf Yud Rav Chizda, very similar story. Maikotin Daf Chav Ches, you have it with Rav Chiyah. Bava Metzia Daf Pei Vav, you have it with Rabbi Bar Nachmeni. There's a Tanit Ve'Eliyoh that we mentioned once with regards to Eliyoh HaNavi. Tanit Ve'Eliyoh says, well, it came time for Eliyoh HaNavi, Eliyoh with Loi Meis, but it came time for his neshama to ascend to Shemayim. So there was a whole problem. The Malach HaMavis told Hashem, I can't do my job. Eliyahu Navi doesn't stop learning. And again, there too, he had to come up with an Eitzah. So here too, there was an Eitzah. You see, there's an idea that the Torah protects from the Malach HaMavis, and that's what Yeshayahu was doing by Chizkiyo. Chizkiyo was sick, and he wanted to make sure Chizkiyo wasn't going to die from his machla. So what did he do? He went ahead and he set up a yeshiva. But the Gemara says something interesting. The Gemara says that even though that's what Yeshayahu Hanavi did, however, v'lav milsi, it's not something you're supposed to do. Why? Dil ma'asi l'griya be satan, because by you doing this, you're provoking the satan, and to provoke the satan is not a good idea either. And all the Mefarshim ask, the Marsha right here in Chedushi Agadis, and the Ritva in his Pirush on the Gemara, they all say, who said V'lav Milsehi? It's the Stam of the Gemara. The Stam of the Gemara is the Amayrahim. How could the Amayrahim argue with Yeshaya HaNavi? It's one thing for an Amayrah to argue with a Tana, but to argue with a Navi, how could you argue with a Navi? At the end of the day, Yeshaya HaNavi did it. So obviously Yeshaya HaNavi thought it was the right thing to do. So if Yeshaya HaNavi thought it was the right thing to do, how can anybody argue with him? So the Gemara says, V'lav milsi dilma asi l'agriya be'satan. And the Marsha and the Ritva, they mucha, they struggle to try to say a pshat, because at the end of the day, how could the stum of the Gemara, Rav Tanu Palak, there's a concept of arguing, but you can't argue with a Navi. That's easy. So if that's the case, who said V'lav milsi? Which Amora had the places to get up and say that Yeshaya HaNavi was wrong? So I saw something very interesting in the Sefer Or HaYosha. So Or HaYosha was written by Reb Shmuel Yitzchak Hillman, who was known, famous, he was a Goyen Olam in Europe, he was also the Shver of Reb Yitzchak Isaac HaLevi Herzog. And in his Sefer, Or HaYosha, he says something very interesting. He says, you know how the Gemara knew that what Yeshaya HaNavi did was Shaloy Aliba de Hilchasa? Because they had a raya from a story that actually predated Yeshaya HaNavi. And that is the story of David HaMelech. David HaMelech was told that he was going to die on Shabbos. And because he was told he was going to die on Shabbos, what did he do on Shabbos? He just sat and learned Torah the whole Shabbos. And the truth is that what he did was a little controversial from a halachic standpoint. Because by learning the Agantz Shabbos, it sounds like he didn't even eat his sudas, which is a problem of a karasal Shabbos Zaynik. Right, it's not so simple. We spoke at once the Radal has a ha'ara in his famous pirish on Pirkei the Rebbe Eliezer, where he asks this kasha, how was David HaMelech able to learn Torah the whole Shabbos? What happened to your basic obligation for Shabbos? But he asks even a better kasha. He says, at the end of the day, David HaMelech was one person. And you see, at the end of the day, he lost. Because at some point, you're gonna, the Malach HaMavis could even get Adonenu David to be Mevatel Torah for a second. So you know what he should have done? He should have been Moshev Yeshiva. That would have been a very practical piece of advice. That's what he should have done. So he said, the Gemara was Mechiach from David HaMelech that V'lav Milsehi. That what Yeshaya HaNavi did was Ayrasha. And for him, it was okay. He had a cheshbon why he wanted to do it. But you want to know Halacha L'maisa? It's not just the Gemara saying Yeshaya was wrong. Mark can't say that. But this is actually based on precedence. What would be the precedent? precedence, and what precedence can outweigh Yeshaya HaNavi, David HaMelech. David HaMelech, that actually trumps over Yeshaya HaNavi, and from David HaMelech, said Rav Hillman, there was a raya that in fact this is not something that you're supposed to do. Either way, so before we learn the next part of the Gemara, so we need a very, very brief introduction. So the next part of the Gemara is really an Amid out of Perek Hadar, or at least it could be, and should be, and would have been. It discusses the more basic halacha of Eruv. And that is that the basic premise of Eruv Echatzeres is that the Chachamim made a takana, Shleim HaMelech, that a person is not allowed to carry from a Rishus HaYachid that belongs to one person to a Rishus HaYachid that belongs to somebody else. So Reuven can't carry something from his Rishus HaYachid to his neighbor Shimon's Rishus HaYachid. Even though they're both Rishus HaYachid, you're not walking Derech Carmelis, you're not walking Derech Rishus HaRabim, you're not walking Derech HaMakom Torah, you're going simply from a Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaYachid. This was Shlomo HaMelech, speak Chiddush, he made a takana that you're not allowed to carry Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaYachid. That's the context of the entire Maseches Erevin. So what do you do? Because it is halacha, part B, is the Chum said you can't carry from a house to a chatzer. And the reason is because most chatzeres had many houses that opened up into it, which means that the chatzer was a common area that was owned by the people that owned the houses that opened up into the chatzer. So if you had 10 houses that opened up into one chatzer, so the ownership structure of the chatzer was 10%, 10%, 10% by each member of the bias. So each individual house is owned 100% by whoever lives there. The chatzer, that person only owns 10%. He has 9 partners. So if that's the case, it's not the same structure. So it's like carrying from Reuven's Rishus HaYachid, Shimon's Rishus HaYachid. So Chacham said, we have a little bit of an issue. Came the solution, which is Eruv Echatzeres. Eruv Echatzeres, we described a little bit like a heter iska. It's a way to circumvent the system. But basically what it is everyone in the chatzer chips in. They buy a suda, typically a box of matzahs, mazin shtei sudas, and they put it in one house that's inside this chatzer. What are you trying to accomplish? What you're accomplishing is that everybody that owns a chelik in that box of matzahs is deemed to be residing in the house where the box of matzahs is. And if that's the case, the box of matzahs, that area, that house, becomes the only house that anybody really lives in right now. People are sleeping at home, that gas. We'll learn Perek Hadar. We'll try to make sense of all this. But the point is, that's from a very, very high level. This is the way it works. You mishtatif into a suda, you put it in one house, so it comes out, everyone's living in one house. So it's not 10 houses and one chatzer, it's one house and one chatzer. The one house is owned by these 10 people, 10%, 10%, 10%. The chatzer is owned by the 10 people, 10%, 10%, 10%. So it's perfect. It's the same ownership. If it's the same ownership, you end up not having an issue. What happens if one person didn't chip in and he wasn't mishtatif in this box of matzahs? So now you have one guy that he didn't get the memo, and as a result he wasn't mishtatif, so he messes up the whole chatzer, because this person is living in his house, he's an owner of the chatzer, so now the chatzer belongs to two houses. So you have the 9 people that were mishtatif, and you have the one person that wasn't mishtatif. The problem is, I can't carry now from my house to here, because again, it's not the same structure. You have this one person messes it up. The Chum had a solution. The solution is, it could be mevatel as rishus. Machlokes b'Shabbos Hillel, if you could do it on Shabbos, but the point is, it could be mevatel your rishus. What are you doing essentially when you're mevatel your rishus? You're being mafker your chelik. It's like bittul chametz, bittul rishus, hefker, yiyush, this concept. You're relinquishing your rights in the chatzer. By you relinquishing your rights in the chatzer, you have no ownership in the chatzer anymore. So if you have no ownership in the chatzer anymore, so from that standpoint, at this point, you have nothing to worry about. The next part of the Gemara is going to discuss a detail, a nuance in this halacha, in this Shulchan Aruch. And that is, what's the halacha now with regards to that person who was never mishtatif in the Erev? All he did was, is he was mevatel his rishus in the chatzer, and as a result, he was an issue, the issue now went away. The question is, could the Anshei HaChatzer carry from that person's house into the Chatzar or not? Meaning, they can carry from their house into the Chatzar, from the Chatzar into their house. That's not a Shaila. Meaning, had he not been Mishtatif, it would have been a problem. Now that he was Mevatel as Rishos, so that's not an issue anymore. The question is, what about the Mevatel, Zayin Egen Rishos? How do we look at that from a halachic standpoint? Now, one thing is clear. He himself, the person that was the Mevatel, he's not allowed to carry from his house into the chatzer. And the reason is because if he's going to carry from his house to the chatzer, it looks like his whole bittul was Not real. It wasn't legitimate. And as a result, Chachamim were worried about that. That day, the optics were terrible. So that's something he for sure is not allowed. He's going to have to stay put. He can never carry from his house into the Chatzah. The question is, what about everybody else? Are they allowed to, or are they not allowed to? So this was the second thing the Mishnah said. Rabbi Loi heard from Rabbi Eliezer. So again, Rabbi Loi heard from Rabbi Eliezer one halacha regarding Karfif. It could be up to a base court. I'm going back to the Mishnah. I also heard from Rabbi Eliezer. If one person in the Chatzah forgot to be Ma'ariv, so what does he do? He's Mevatel as Rishos. We know that. So the halach is he himself is not allowed to carry from his house into the chatzah. We just said that's pashut. Everybody agrees with that because it looks like his whole bitul wasn't real. However, it's only he himself, Abalahem, as it relates to everybody else that's living in the chatzah, mutter. For everybody else, the halach is it's going to be mutter. So he himself can't do it. Anybody else living in the chatzah is allowed to carry from the mevatel's house into the chatzah. Avada, they can carry from their house to the chatzah. That was the whole point in the bittul. But the chiddush is that they can even carry from the mevatel's house. Zok the gemara. But now we learned in the Mishnah, Beisa Yasser, how could you tell me that the halacha is what we just said? But the Mishnah says, he himself is not allowed to carry. Lohitzu, lahachnes, loy, not him, vilohem, and not them either. So you see clearly that no one's allowed to carry from the mevatel's house. How could you say that it's only the mevatel himself? It's a mefurish Mishnah. The Mishnah says no one's allowed to. So what's the obvious answer? Rabbi Loi said something he heard from Rabbi Eliezer. Ravuna, Beredi Rabbi Yeshua. Rav Sheish is like Kasha. What kind of Kasha is that? Ha Rabbi Eliezer, ha Rabbanon. One is going to Rabbi Eliezer, and the other one's going to Rabbanon. So it's not a Kasha. Zok the Gemara. What's the Machloikis? Meaning, what's the Machloikis whether everybody else, not the Mevatel, he for sure can't carry from his house into the Chatzar. If everyone else is allowed to carry from the house to the Chatzar, what would it be Talian? So the Gemara says, Kishatim Tzalaymer, when you think about it, meaning after you go into the Sugya a little bit, so the Chur, what comes out is like this. Rabbi Eliezer holds a Mevatel Rishul. When a person is mevatel the rishus of his chatzer, not only is he mevatel the rishus of his chatzer, he's mevatel the rishus of his bias as well. Just to get this clear, the mevatel didn't have to be mevatel his chelik in the bias. It wasn't necessary. What did he have to do? All he had to do was be mevatel his chelik in the chatzer. Once he removed his chelik in the chatzer, so the chatzer is owned by the other nine people. They can carry from the house to the chatzer. That's really all that has to happen. The question is, does the person already do it by ayin yofa? Do we assume I'm being mevatel my chelik in the chatzer, so he's going to be mevatel his chelik in the bias as well? Is that something you're supposed to assume? Is that something you're not supposed to assume? What is it? What's going to be the nafkamina? Could the other nine people carry from that person's house into the chatzer? If we assume he was mevatel his chelik in the bias, so they now own the bias. So it's the same nine people that own the chatzer, that own the batim, that own his bias. So what's the difference between his house and anybody else's house? If we assume that he only did the bare minimum, he didn't do a bayin yofa. Shine height. He just did what he had to do. He did whatever he was told to do. You have to move out to the chatzah, no problem. He followed the rules, no issues. But he didn't do more than he was supposed to do. See, he was never mevatel his chelik in the bias. If he was never mevatel his chelik in the bias, these nine chevra own everything besides for this one house. How could they carry there? This is Shlomo HaMelech's takana. You're not let it carry from one Rishus HaYachid to another Rishus HaYachid. Meaning the person never had to be mevatel his bias. Do we assume he did it anyways? Do we not? Do we assume he didn't do it anyways? Zok to Gemara, when you think about it, look, this is what comes out. If someone was mevatel rishus chaser. Do you assume he was mevatel rishus of the bais? Rabbi Eliezer holds, yeah. Being the Rabbi Eliezer holds, yeah. That's what Rabbi Eliezer said. Only the person himself, the mevatel himself, is not allowed to carry from his house into the chatzah. Everybody else is allowed to. The Rabbanon, however, they hold differently. I'm mevatel rishus chaser. Rishus bais loy bitel. He wasn't mevatel the rishus of his bais. If he wasn't mevatel the rishus of his bais, so you can't carry to his bais because he owns his bais and we don't own his bais. So it's rishus Ruvain to rishus Shimon. That's the takana. That's going to be Amr Rechabo. Rechabo said, I know. Rav Huna Bar Chinner Targimno. No, it's fate the Gemara. Pshita, skip the word. So the Gemara says, we need you to tell me this. Kishatim Tzolaymer. I mean, is there another way to learn the Gemara? I mean, the Gemara is telling me the Pshat. Usually Rashi tells me the Pshat. So why did the Gemara have to tell me the Pshat? Must mean it was a Kiddush. I mean, we can't wait the 1,000 years for Rashi. We need a no Pshat right now. Obviously, there was some Kasha over here. There would have been like maybe another way to learn the Gemara. Gemara says, Pshita. I mean, there's no other way to learn the Gemara. Obviously, this is what's going on over here. So Rav Chava said, no, we explained it. There's a little bit of a Kiddush over here because the truth is, there's a nafkamina lahalacha that comes out from this, and that's why the Gemara wanted to point it out. What would be the nafkamina lahalacha? The chamisha sheshuim b'chatzar echad. Five people are living in one chatzar. V'shachach echad mehen, v'lo yirev, and one person forgot, and he didn't make an erev. Okay, the different Rabbi Eliezer, according to Rabbi Eliezer, what are you supposed to do if you forgot to make an Erev? One person, you have to be mevatel your reshus. Here's the question. Do you have to be mevatel your reshus to each person individually or not? According to Rabbi Eliezer, kshu mevatel reshus, ein tzarch levatel chol echad v'echad. You don't have to go over to each person. Ruvein, I'll be mevatel my reshus. Shimon, I'll be mevatel my reshus. Why? Because we always assume the person did it by in Yafa. Just like Rabbi Eliezer holds, you probably will mevatel your bais even though you didn't have to. You do it by in Yafa. You do it nicely. So Misnama, the guy was mevatel, so he doesn't have to go over to each yachid. Because we assume the minute he was mevatel to one person, he really had everybody else in Zin. According to Rabbanu, you would have to. Zokti Gemara on this note. Come on, also had the Tanya. Chamish shurim b'chatzar echav shalchechem evelay iru. Five people living in the same chatzar. One person forgot to make an eruv. Kshuvavatam reshus say ain't tzarich levatam reshus tochalechav echon. You don't have to. Come on, who's that going like? Rabbi Eliezer, because we just said that would be an afkamina in this machloek between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chum. Rav Kahana masni hachi. Rav Kahana said everything that we just said. Okay, I'm meaning ad kan divi Rav Kahana. Rav Tavuni masni hachi. Rav Tavuni said it a little bit differently. He said, come on, also had the Tanya. Same thing. Just little nuances. Five people living in a chatzar, one person forgot to make an eruv, so you have to be mevatel. You don't have to be mevatel reshus every person. Keman, Amar Avuna, Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav Sheshes, different names. It's Kerab Eliezer. Amar Le Rav Papa La Bayis. Rav Papa asked Abayis. Again, we have a machloikis between Rav Eliezer and the Chachamim, a rather technical machloikis, as it relates to a chatzar where they made a ruvi chatzeres. One person wasn't mishtatif. He's supposed to be mevatel as reshus. The question is, could the Bnei HaChatzer carry from the Mevatel's bias to the Chatzer, or could they not? It's Machloikis, Rebbe Eliezer, and Unzer Mishnah right here, Chav Gimel Amid Aleph, and Perek Ois and Pasin, and the Chachamim later in the Masechta, and the Gemara was Mevayer. What's the Hezber in the Machloikis? The Hezber is, do we assume that the person, when he was Mevatel, his Chelik in the Chatzer, he was also Mevatel his bias, or not? He didn't have to, but the assumption is, did he? That's the question. Do we say he's mevatel by an yofa? Like you have sugis and chas. Moicher by an yofa hu moicher. Maktish by an yofa hu maktish. Mevatel. Ba'ayin yofu hu mevatel or not ba'ayin yofu mevatel? Rebbe Eliezer Shita is ba'ayin yofu mevatel. As a result, Rebbe Eliezer holds that he relinquished his chelik in the bias, so there's no reason that you shouldn't be able to carry in his bias. Chum held not that way. So notice the machloikis is min hastam. Without us having any particular information about the situation, should we assume that he was mevatel his chelik in the bias, or should we not assume that? Amalei Rav Papa la'bayas, Rav Papa asked abayu. The Rebbe Eliezer, what would be according to Rebbe Eliezer? I amalei mevatelino. Let's say the person says, I'm not mevatel my chelik in the bias. Or the Rabbanon, I amalei mevatelino. What if a person says, I am being mevatel my chelik in the bias? My, what would be that halacha? What's the shayla? Tami, the Rebbe Eliezer, Meshul Degosom mevatel Rishus Chatzeroi, Rishus Beis Habitel. Is Pshana Rebbe Eliezer, because Rebbe Eliezer holds that minastam, we assume when you mevatel your chelik in the chatz, mevatel, you're biased. Okay, so this person said, I'm not being mevatel. So if he said, I'm not being mevatel, so he said he's not being mevatel. What's the discussion? Or maybe there's another side. Time of the Rebbe Eliezer, Mishun the bias play chotzer le'avidi inchi de diary. The reason we assume that a person, when he's mevatel is chotzer, he's mevatel is house, because a house needs a chotzer. That's just the way it is. And as a result, there's no way he left over the bias without the chotzer. What are you going to do with a bias without a chotzer? So it's not just an umdana that ba'ayin yofa, that's probably what he did. There's a logic to it. And the assumption is that's for sure what he did. It's such a strong svara, a little bit of a chiddush, that the Gemara says, if that's the case, that if the person says that's not what happened, lav kol kamine, we don't believe him. And meaning, afal gafta oma dayirna, lav klub kamar, he says, we don't listen to him. Meaning, the Gemara has such a strong svara to say that a person would be mevatel his bias, that even if he says I wasn't mevatel my bias, maybe we're not going to believe him. This was Rav Papa's question that he asked Abaya. And Rav Papa asked the same shayla coin to Rabbanon. Again, the Rabbanon hold him in a stam. You were a mevatel, you're chelik in the bias. I'm a mevatel. What happens if he says I was mevatel my? Tami the Rabbanon mishum the chesav mevatel shus chatzeru, which was based on lebitel. V'hai yom I'm mevatel. Is it just based on the assumption? Okay, over here he said I'm a. Oh, you do. Tami the Rabbanon mishum the way over the nishtam masalik nashu legami bias v'chatz. Or the chavim held that it's a svara. Nobody's just going away and giving up his house and his chatzer and his vacation. You're not doing that. So yeah, you'll do. You tell me I have to give away my chatzer. I mean, this is you hire an attorney first. You're not just doing this recklessly. So mistami, you want me to give away my bias also? You want to drive my car too? Like, seriously? It's not mistaber, that's what the person did. So the Rabban and all, that's not what he did. Meaning, no one's going to do that. Even if he says I was mevatel, being that he doesn't have to, just wants to look good. Yeah, of course I was mevatel. We don't believe him. So what's the bottom line? Papa asked Abaye these questions. Meaning, according to Rabban Eliezer, he said clearly I was a mevatel. According to Rabban, he said clearly I was mevatel. So what's the So Abaye told Rabban, being the Rabbanon, Bainu Rebbe Eliezer, Kivin the Gully, Dai the Gully, whatever he says. You don't have to make conspiracy theories. Whatever he tells you he did, or whatever he tells you he didn't do, you can fairly assume that that's really what happened. The last thing Rabbi Eliezer said he heard from Rabbi Eliezer was v'chein shamati mimenu, and this is completely unrelated. Sheyoytzin ba'ar kablin b'pesach. Then when it comes to the Leil Seder and you're eating the maror, if you want to eat ar kablin, that's going to be okay. So the Gemara says, "My ar kablin. What is ar kablin?" Amar Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish said, "Atzvasa charuz yasa." So this is some vine that circles around a palm tree, and apparently it was bitter, and that's why we're having a discussion whether it could be used for maror. Either way, that's the third thing that Rabbi Loi heard from Rabbi Eliezer. On that note, hadron alach oisin pasin exhale. So just two ha'aris as it relates to some of the raid that we spoke about this week. So one of the themes of the week was the machloikis between the Mishkanes Yaakov and the Beis Ephraim with regards to some of the Eruvin that existed in the 19th century in the big cities, where the Mishkanes Yaakov said he believes the time has come that we have to be moichah. In fact, Rabbi Binufel just gave me a sefer that this is literally an entire sefer that was written on the tshuvas of the Beis Ephraim and of the Mishkanes Yaakov with a commentary on the bottom. So I mean, literally, svarim have been written on the machlokes between the Beis Ephraim and the Mishkanes Yaakov. These were tshuvas, but they're more like svarim that are and kutresin that are inside these tshuvas. But either way, the Mishkanes Yaakov felt that based on the halacha of Asi Rabim Umavatel Mechitzta, and based on the fact that a Rosh Hashanah Rabim doesn't necessarily need Shish and Riboy, so he felt that most of the big cities are in Europe were Rosh Hashanah Rabim. If they're Rosh Hashanah Rabim, you can't just make a Tzuras HaPesach. And he was very, very disturbed and disappointed about what was going on. And even though he knew the Minig Yisrael always was to have a Reuven, but at the same time, he felt the time had come that somebody had to make a statement and somebody had to be Moicha. And this is what he did. He said that you have to be Moicha. The Beis Ephraim defended the minig in Klal Yisrael. The tshuvas of the Mishkanes Yaakov were written to the Beis Ephraim. And Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolis, also the author of Mata Ephraim and Yonah D'Yoyme, he fought back. And he said that I understand where you're coming from, but minig Yisrael Torah, and we have to be miyash of the minig. And we have to say that even though the Shulchan Aruch paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, that Asi Rabim Umavata Mechitzta, really like Asi Rabim Umavata Mechitzta. And you have to say that, you know, even though there are many Rishonim that hold you have a Rosh Hashanah Rabim, even if you don't have 600,000 people living in the city or traveling through the city, but there's also Yeshayim Shulchan Aruch that you do have to have 600,000 people. There's a Mechaber in Simon Shin Gimel that says that we don't have Rosh Hashanah Rabbims today. Why not? Probably because we don't have 600,000. So you see, that's a legitimate cheat. And if that's the case, our big cities are not Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Really, all they are is a Carmelist. If they're a Carmelist, you could be Ma'ar of a Carmelist with an Erev. But the bottom, with a Tzuras HaPesach. The bottom line is, this is some of the raid that we spoke about. Now, the truth is, there's another element, there's another knetch to this whole discussion. Again, we're just touching this from the surface, but there's another piece that goes in. Mishkanes Yaakov is championing the halacha, l'chura. The Beis Ephraim is standing up for Ma'am Advar, Minig Yisrael Torah. But there really is another piece, and that is that there was always a thought amongst the Gedolei Yisrael that the right thing to do is to make an Erev. Meaning, an Erev's not like, Adiyah Adonish. You want to make an Erev Tavshilin? Oshakein, Oshalo, whatever. But you'll go to your neighbor's house, worse comes to worse. And when it comes to Eruv HaChatzeros, there was a thought that you're supposed to have an Eruv HaChatzeros. And it's not just something that you could do or something that you cannot do. But rather, this is something that's very, very much important. And Exhibit A, just to bring out this point, is the Tshuva Chassam Sofer. There's a Tshuva in the Chassam Sofer. It's an early Tshuva. It's an Erech Chaim. It's Tshuva Tzadik Tes. And he was talking about this idea. One of his Talmidim sent him the Shaila. How important is it to make an Erev? See, he says like this. Just read a few excerpts. Tov ze'in etzarech lefnim, ul'raya. You don't need me for this. V'umen ha'seichel u'men ha'mavur lehedya b'divrei chazal. Haseichel mechayev. Ba'ashe yodua sheshmirash yom Shabbos kodesh. Me'asoyz kol chefetz u'atzleinu me'mitzvahs ha'roshiyos. Shabbos is one of the most important mitzvahs. Misha inim ha'shabbos kol chasei. If somebody doesn't keep Shabbos properly, ha'reo kekoifer u'mumir b'chol ha'toyra kulo. Kemavur be'erivin. Samach tasam al alf. One of the sugyas that are coming up. Ve'isra ha'itzom reshus ha'ram l'shus ha'yachid. So if that's the case, carrying is one of the lamites malachas. An Erev would prevent carrying. So he says, to me, it's a davar pashit that if there's something we can do to fix this problem, that you're not going to have an issue, certainly you should do that. The kol kach hamer adavar. Carrying is so chamer. So we could have inserted right now that the Chachamim were mevatel tkiya shofar and dalad minin and mikra megillah shem yavi reno dalad amos shusar rabbi. He says a different punchline. The kol kachamer adaver achnafilu ba'ines deleika. Perikol kisvei mesach de Shabbos. There's a fire burning. Chas v'sholom b'hitiru lahatzel l'chotzer she'enam u'revis. Not only are you not allowed to go back, learn that hard Gemara. There was one Erev in Gemara in Perikol kisvei that talked about these halachas. Go back, learn the Gemara now. It's a little more geshmak. You understand what a mavi is, and a mavi mefulish and enam mefulish. Ayin shom. But regardless, that Gemara spoke about that even to carry. You're saving something from a fight. You know what's going on. Even to a chatzah sheinu merevis is very chamur. So you see that this is something that's very, very important. Then he goes on to say that it's also very, very important for us to make sure we don't let our children be mechal Shabbos. It says in the Torah, Atu vincho vitecha, your children are not allowed to be mechal Shabbos. You know how hard it is to make sure that your children aren't going to carry? This is something that's very obvious is going to be a very difficult thing for you to stop. So based on that, there's no question v'ham dover mutam skipping ala rava tamul chacham shabir l'sakin ha'mevois. V'im lav, and if he doesn't do that, michshol v'koyvara amal tzavari. If you're a rav in a kehila and you have an opportunity to make an eruv and you don't make an eruv, and then people go ahead and carry, so literally michshol v'koyvara amal tzavari. Kedamrina, and he quotes the Gemara eruv in Samaches, where the Gemara says Rabbi Bar Chana told Abai, they came to Rabbi Bar Chana and they asked him this whole halacha shayla, famous Gemara where there was a bris milah on Shabbos ishtap b'chamime, and they had to carry hot water amir la'akum. It's a very intense Gemara. So Rabbi Bar Chana said, I understand, there was no eruv. So he said there was no Erev. So he turned to them and he told them, Mevoye de ispe gavri ravri kirabonon. You know the Rabbanon what? Rabbi Bar Nachmeni, Rabbi, and Abaya. Loi lahavi ba loi Erev, loi shituf. And Abaya started like squirming a little bit. Vahutrich Abaya sham lehisnatzel ala mechshelo shetachazi. He says, you have to realize, Rabbi couldn't do it, I couldn't do it. It was a very hard thing to do. But says the Chassam Sofer, what do you take out of that Gemara? You take out of that Gemara how important it is to do. Then he says what we spoke out last week from the Chassam Sofer in his Chedushim HaMasach de Shabbos Daf Yudal. He said, that's why when Shlomo HaMelech was Masakin Erev, there was a Baskel. Why was there a Baskel? He says, the reason it was a Baskel is not because of the Gzerah that he made, it was because of the Takono, the Tikkun. So you see, there was a whole Baskel that came out. And then he goes on, he says, you see, you make a Bracha on an Erev. And he struggles. He says, why do you make a Bracha on the Erev? What's the Bracha on? On the Isserite Tzah. You don't make a Bracha on an Isserite Tzah. You don't make a Bracha on Isurim. Elamai, the bracha is on the tikkun. He says, if you're making a bracha on the tikkun, so you see what a davar chashuv it is. And he ends, Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Asher Nasan Belev Melochim, V'Saganim, V'Sorim, Asher Am Hashem Chosim. He gives a shvach v'idah to the Eibishter. He brings that the Chevra in Presburg, all the Rosh Hakul. He's talking about the non-Jewish, the Gentiles. They used to come to the city and they saw the Tzuras HaPesachs and never gave him a hard time. And he says, Mechazdei Hashem that they allow us to do it. But the bottom line is, he told the Shoyl that you want to know what my feeling is that when it comes to an Erev, you have to have an Erev. It's something that you have to do. You have to figure out a way to try to make an Erev. It's something that's very, very important. It's interesting that Reb Moshe Feinstein, in his many tshuvas that he wrote about Eruvin, so this tshuva is regarding the Detroit Erev. It's in Eruv Chaim, it's Chelek Hay, and it's Simin Chavtes. Reb Moshe wrote tshuvas about the Flatbush Erev and the Manhattan Erev and the Kew Gardens Hills Erev. And there's many different tshuvas that Reb Moshe wrote, Vadvarim Atikin, the Inkam Agoymoy. But this tshuva in particular, he was discussing a specific Erev, the Erev in Detroit. And he goes through the different nuances. And either way, it seems that the Askonim in Detroit, they were telling Reb Moshe that, you know, this is something you're supposed to do. I mean, it doesn't say that they quoted the Tshuvas Chacham Sofer, but that's a Tshuvas Chacham Sofer. This is a Messiah. I mean, that's why the minhag always was that there was an Erev. So this is something that you're very much supposed to do. So Reb Moshe told him back that, I don't know if I agree. He says, "V'hinei hadam etzina b'gemara erev and afsamaches." The Gemara we just quoted, where Rabbi Bar Chanan turned to Abaya and he was just taken aback. He couldn't believe it. Trey Gavri Ravri, you have two great people living in this city, in this mavui, and you don't have. So he says, "This that you find amarti shahoyezeb b'mekoyme shloya efshabaloyze." Ramosh said, "I think that was once upon a time." Back in the day, this was something that was very, very important. Why? Do yitzrichin lahachlas abehemis? No one you had to feed the behemis. They were not behemoths. Then you had to feed the behemoths. We were the behemoths. You had to go to the barn. And to get to the barn was going to involve carrying. The people that had horses, needed a pasi birois in order to be able to take water out of the beiros. So you rush us hayachid ulay tziem lerechayev shabalay tikkun hoyse kamelis v'gam letzorich adam atzmai hoyet zorich gadol. Why? So you kasha lahachin mayim kol atzorich. You didn't have a pantry. You didn't have a refrigerator. You didn't have a crockpot. You had
the food, it was all over the place. So for you to have to start schlepping food was a very, very big deal. He says that was something that was very, very hard. You don't have to. You have to start. Every day you have to go take food from your backyard. You can prepare for Shabbos before Shabbos and Misha Tarek, better Shabbos, Yoichel Shabbos. This is not something that's going to be a big deal. So Rav Moshe says, I don't think this is Nagei anymore. He says, yeah, once upon a time, it was very hard to live as a functional person without carrying outside. So Memele, you were Mukhrich, you didn't have a choice. So but the last prayer, you had to go ahead and make an Erev. He says, but today, I don't think it's a big deal. Then he said, there's another cheshmen. Do we have an obligation to go ahead and be matzal all the people that are being mechal Shabbos? Rachman ul-Lusson, you have so many yidden that are being mechal Shabbos. Put up an Erev like this. These people won't be mechal Shabbos. So he says, afshu dover toiv, baba yinisenu rabim, sheka harbe yoivra avero, shetikin Erev in yamayit ha-yusurim, but he says, leka chiv lahafrish bishful mumorim amezit. He says, that's not something you have to do. Da'aloch grab shim gamlil, he starts varfing gemaras. You have no obligation to bail out a bal avero. Yeah, someone that does it, b'shoy gigo, ba'oynis, yeah, he doesn't know. He said, today everybody knows. There's no one you say, well, you don't know, you're not allowed to carry. Who doesn't know you're not allowed to carry? Everybody knows that. He said, Elamai, guy's doing a b'mezid. You're doing a b'mezid. I'm not a chroy for that person. So for you to go ahead and start making geruven, that's not something you're supposed to do. Then he says that I heard today that there are many noshim that mitstaris harbe. It's very hard for them to go outside with carriages and babies. He said that he hears a little bit. See, he says, I would call this in halacha a tzairich. He says, maybe even a tzairich gadol. So he says, go through the sugyas. And if you come out that you could be mekel tzairich, I consider this a tzairich. Maybe a tzairich, but as it relates to the Tshuvas Chassam Sofer in Presburg in the early 19th century, that was very, very relevant. He says, you want to know today in the United States of America in the 20th century, he said, Rav Moshe, I don't think it's Nagei anymore. The circumstances changed, the Metzias changed. Once upon a time, you couldn't live without going to your backyard, which meant you were going to start. You had to have an Erev. It was very, very hard to function without an Erev. So there were good people that were going to end up doing Averis because of the fact there was no Erev. But he says, you want to know as it relates to today, I don't think it's such a big deal. So you have this idea, just throw in another wrinkle, as it relates to the whole Erev and Shaili. You have the halacha, which was the whole diatribe of the Mishkanes Yaakov. Then you have the Minig, which is what the Beis Ephraim was defending, or what many Gedolei Yisrael were defending. And then you have this other abstract idea where there's an Inyan, you're supposed to have an Erev. So how do you, where does that come into the equation? So you're supposed to have an Erev, Memela what? Memela, you start saying kulas that otherwise in halacha you wouldn't say. How far are you supposed to take this? So again, this is one of the struggles when you're dealing with Erev, and there's so many moving pieces from a high level. Forget about when you start getting into the Rajbas and the Ritvas and the Rans and Rambans and trying to understand what all the Rishonim said. But I'm going to tell you something very interesting. One other Nakuda as it relates to this. And that is, there was a Rishon whose name was Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Yochar. The Ribar Yochar, he's most famous as being the Ramban's Rebbe. So the Ramban's Rebbe Muvik was the Ribar Yochar. And the Ribar Yochar wrote a sefer on Nusach HaTfilah. And when it comes to the Nusach HaTfilah of Tikanta Shabbos, Rotzisa Korban Yisrael, that we say a Musaf on Shabbos. So this is what he says. Vezel Lashoinai. He says, Tikanta Shabbos. What does the word Tikanta mean? Al Shem Izein Vetikein. It comes from the word Izein Vetikin, Shloimeh HaMelech. V'darshin in Erev in Chaf Aleph Amid Beis, Shloimeh Tikin Erev L'Shabbos. That Shloimeh HaMelech, when he was Mesakin, an Erev L'Shabbos. Okay, Shloimeh HaMelech was Mesakin, and that was Rotzisa Karban Oseo. What's the Rotzisa? He wanted, there was a Rotzoin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Merutza, Sheyasu Tikin L'Shabbos, why Sheyucha Lotzeis Ishmin Kroimah. So this is from the Ribar Yochar, this is from the Ramban's Rebbe. Was also a big makubal. So he said, Tikanta Shabbos Ratzisa. What's Tikanta Shabbos referring to? It's Erevin. Miloshen Izein Vetikin. Shloim HaMelech who was Mesakin Erev. Tikanta Shabbos Ratzisa. This was a gewaldige Sache, what Shloim HaMelech did. When he was Mesakin Erevin, it was tremendous. Why? Because by having Erevin, Yuchal Lotzei Sishmim Kaimoy. A person is going to be able to now go out of his place. Otherwise, he wouldn't be able to leave his place. So I saw in the Sefer Mikra Ha'eda. This is from Rabbi Eliyahu Greenzeig. So he asks, he says, well, why is that true? What, if you have an Erev, you can't leave your house? You can't go to shul if you don't have an Erev? Who said you can't go to shul? So maybe a young mother that has a... I hear the situations maybe where it's going to lead to that a person can leave his house. But Rotzisa Sheyasu Tikun L'Shabbos Sheyuchal Lotzei Sishmin Kaimoy, we're bavarning that small percentage of people that they can't leave their house. It's a little tzarech bir. This is his kasha that he asks. So he says a dover nifla, but a little bit of a hakdama. He has a fascinating... thesis, for lack of a better word, in his Sefer Mikra Eda. This is Chelek Aleph. Chelek Aleph goes from Bereshis until Chayasara. This is Simin Yud Gimel. We all know that Chazal and Masak in certain takonos, Lohoitzi Milibin Shal Tzadokim. Right, there were certain takonos Chazal made, Lohoitzi Milibin Shal Tzadokim. So a few of them are well known. We know the Mishnah in Masak Tz Yuma, Sphir Sa'imer ties into Lohoitzi Milibin Shal Tzadokim. But he goes in and he says something not Shaykh. He says that if you go through certain mitzvah satire, you find Chazal with very, very worried about certain things, and you want to know the rest of the story, because learn the history. The tzedukim, the karam, the baisusim, for the purposes of this conversation, they're all synonymous with each other. But they were different kaifrim, and there were certain minhagim that they had, and the chum were very worried about them, because they were a bad influence. And we had to make sure that we distance ourselves from those things. He starts off, he brings from the Vilna Gaon, that the Vilna Gaon says, the Gemara says, that Oynes Talmud Chacham is Bilel Shabbos Kodesh. He says, why is Oynes Talmud Chacham Bilel Shabbos Kodesh? So he brings this from the Vilna Gaon, that the Vilna Gaon said, because the Eben Ezra brings, in Parashas Vayakel, on the Pasuk, Bacharish Uvakotzer Tishbois, that he brings from one of the Mefarshim, that Anon, he calls him, Piresh, he said, Becharish of Akatsa Tishbeis means that there's an Issa Tashmish on Shabbos. So the Vilna Gaon said that there is a Chazal with Kaveya, that the Oina of a Talmud Chacham is Bilel Shabbos Kodesh. You know where it came from? It was Lahoitzi Miliban Shal Tzadokim. That Shita that existed that Devin Ezra already quoted. He said, Becharish of Akatsa Tishbeis means an Issa Tashmish. The Leil Shabbos Kodesh is just the opposite. That's why that's the Oina of a Talmud Chacham. He brings that he saw from Rab Shloimeh, this incredible Bekias in this place. He brings from Rab Shloimeh Koy Mivilna. He says, we know Ner Beisai Adif, right? Ner Beisa is doich everything. Perik Mem Adlikim. You have Ner Chanukah. You have this and that. But Ner Beisa Mishum Shalom Bayis. But we spoke a lot about Ner Beisa in Perik Mem Adlikim. Ner Beisa is a very big deal. He says, why is Ner Beisa such a very big deal? So he brings Rav Shloim Makoyim Mivilna that he said, you want to know the rest of the story. Yeah, Chazal said Shalom. But you want to know the rest of the story. The reason Ner Beisa is so odd is because we know that the Tzedukim didn't have any fires in their house on Shabbos. So they had no fire. So this was all Lahoitzim Milibas. It's incredible. He says, Lahoitzim Iliban Shel Tzadokim, they went ahead, and Chazal said, not only do you have to light fire, but Ner Beis, it's the last dollar you have to buy a candle. Because Ner Beis Ayodiv, he said, this is something that's critical. This is something that's so important. He brings from the Shibolei Aleket. Chazal say, Kolo Oichel B'Tshi, U'Misana Ba'asiri, and that's why eating on Erev Yom Kippur is such a big deal. Right, such a big deal. It's a tremendous mitzvah. Right, it's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. Why? It's based on a chazal. It says, Kol oichel v'shoyse b'chi, it's ke'ilu nisana chi v'asir. Said the Shibali Aleket, you want to know why it's such a big deal? Because if you look in the Pasuk, what does the Pasuk say? V'nisim esnafs shoy seichem. The Torah says you're supposed to fast b'chi. Fake the Gemara. V'chi m'chi v'sanin v'aloi b'sir v'san. So Shibali Aleket says that Tzedukim used to fast on chi. They used to fast on chi. They used to fast Erev Yom Kippur and Yom Kippur. They used to fast on the ninth day. So he said, Lahoitzim Miliban Shal Tzadokim. Chazal didn't just say you don't have to fast. No, they went out of their way. They said you have to. Kol Oichel B'Chiyu Mesane Basiri. He says, that's why even Pekuach Nefesh. So Pekuach Nefesh is doich everything, obviously, right? It's doich everything. But he says, if you go through the Lashonis of Chazal, they were maflik. The Lashonis that they used are hard to believe in terms of Kol Ashoyel Areza Sheikh Domim and Averov, the one that the Hanishol Areza Maguna. He said, why did they make such a big deal? He says, because it's Mavur. He said, he studied this. All the Svarim of the Tzedukim. He says, they believe that a person has to be Moisen Nefesh for a mitzvah. You're never, ever, ever allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. He says, that's why they were so maflik. He brings this from Kadmoinim. They were so maflik. This is the rest of the story. They were so maflik because they felt they had to go Lohoitzim Liban Shal Tzedukim. He says, that's why they were so machmer as it relates to Rafua B'Shabbos. Simen Shin Chav Ches. Right? Zerim Shem Shchik Zamban. It's also something we spoke so much about. Why were they so machmer? He says it was the flip side of the same coin. He says they felt that they were being so mako as it relates to Pekuach Nefesh that they had to temper it with a Chumrah. Because otherwise it's going to be like a Hefkevel. So they said, on the one hand, so, so Chumr. But then again, that's so Kuladik. You do whatever. You pick up the phone, you call Atzal. You don't even think about it. But at the same time, you want to take an Advil because your head hurts. It's not so simple. Right, it almost sounds like it doesn't make sense. He says, yeah, if I care, it doesn't make sense. It's the flip side of that coin. Because they felt that on the one hand, you're going to be so extreme, you're going to be so makel, you have no choice, but you have to be so machmer as well. So it says, Rab Greenzeig, I'm literally picking four or five examples of a tremendous arichos. It says, Rab Greenzeig, I think that's pshat in this, the Ribar Yochar. He says, because it says in the Torah, Al Yetzei Mimkoymei B'Yemash, that's a passing in Parashas B'Shalach. In the Parashas Amon, Al Yetzei Mimkoymei B'Yemash Shabbos. We have two drushes from Chazal about what that means. One means Tchumen. Al Yetzei Mimkoymei B'Yemash Shabbos is this a Tchumen. We also learned the Gemara not so long ago. the end of the first parak, Yud Zayin Amud Beis, the very, very last Gemara, the first parak of Masechtas Erevin, where the Gemara says, Al Tikri Al Yetze, El Al Yoytze. It's a Makar for a Pasuk for Yitzah, because the Malacha Geruah, that's why you need a Pasuk for Yitzah. But at the end of the day, the Pasuk doesn't say that. The Pasuk says, Al Yetze, Ishmim Koimoy, Be'em HaShabbos. Rav Gintzai says, the Tzedukim took that Pasuk literally. They took everything literally. And the Tzedukim didn't leave their house on Shabbos. They didn't leave their house on Shabbos. They used to stay put on Shabbos. This is what they did. They never left their house on Shabbos. See, he says, because they didn't leave their house on Shabbos, Dr. Bar Yochor, Tikanta Shabbos Rotzisa Kamer Yisrael. Tikanta Shabbos was Izan V'tikir. Shloimeh Melech went, and he was Mesakin Eruvi Chatzeres. It was Rotzisa. What's the big deal? Kloimer? The Ribar Yochid, the Ramban's Rebbe, Rotzisa Sheyasu Tikkun LeShabbos Sheyuchal Lotzei Sishmim Koymoy. He doesn't mean the carriage. What he means is that people should leave the house, because he was afraid that you can't be in a situation where you can't leave your house, because not leaving your house is such a big deal. You're touching on the tzedukim, and lahoitzi milibun shel tzedukim. You have to make sure every city people are coming and going, because if you're gonna stay put because punk there's no erev, now you're running into tzeduki issues, and it's all included in this idea. It says maybe that's why we make a bracha on the erev. Again, it's a haflaga in this idea, because every single time we have a halacha that touches on something that Tzedukim did, you're going to find things that literally transcend. You're going to find things that transcend everything else. Because anytime you're dealing with something Tzedukim related, you make a bracha. Why are you making a bracha? This is what it's related to the Tzedukim. That's why you make a mitzvah zeir. Chasam soifes kasha in simit tzadik. Because what you make a bracha for? The teretz is it's lahoitzim milibin shal tzedukim. And when it comes to lahoitzim milibin shal tzedukim, we don't ask questions like this. Chazal were always maflik when it came to that. That's the first ara. The second ara, a little bit lighter, and that is that. So we spoke this week a lot about the halacha that Rosh Hashanah Shechalias b'Shabbos, we don't blow shofar. If Sukkot falls out on Shabbos, we don't take the Al Minim. If Purim falls out on Shabbos, we don't read the Megillah. Why? Zeirah Shem Yavirenu Dalin Ames B'Shusaram. We mentioned the Bir Halachas Kasha in two places, in Simon Shin Gimel and in Simon Shin Memhei, and it's really based on the Mishkanes Yaakov's Kasha to the Beis Ephraim, and that is that if the Rishonim say that Ho'idna, we don't have Rishus HaRabims, so he said, we don't have Rishus HaRabims Ho'idna, so it's really not Shaykh to carry Dal Ramas B'Shus HaRabim Midai Raisa. So if it's not possible to be over Shem Yavirenu Dal Ramas B'Shus HaRabim, so why are we going ahead and be Mevatel all these mitzvahs? Let's blow Shoifa better. Let's take the Dal Minim. Let's hit a Megillah. Presume Nisa Adif. So what are we doing this for? Shem Yavirenu, we don't have Rishus HaRabim. So this week, during the course of, we mentioned three Terutzim. We mentioned the Mahalach for Rabbi Yehuda Asad, some Sveitan Mol, which is that Enochinami, it could be as it relates to Shema Yoitzienu, Mishus Ayachal, Rishus Arabim, being that we don't real Rishus Arabis, we don't have Samach Riboy, that's not going to be an issue. But at the same time, as it relates to Havaris, Tal Arabis, Rishus Arabim, maybe that's different. We mentioned the two Terutzim from the Marsham in Chela Gimel Sim and Kuf Peches. We mentioned the second Terutz first, which was that maybe if Chachamim would be Mekel today, and they'd say, because there's no Rishus Arabim, so don't worry about it, you can blow Shoifer, so it would be a Zilzel on Carmelis. And you find there's an idea that if someone has a Suffolk, if he has to bench, so he benches because Fekid Raisa L'Chomer, but he doesn't only say the first three brachas of benching again, he says the fourth bracha also. It's only Midrabbanon, Atoyva Meitiv, but not to be Mezalzel in the Rabbanon, so you Machmer in the Rabbanon as well. He says if you'd be Machmer when there's a real Rishus Rab, be Mekel when it's only a Carmelist, it would be a Zilzel. And then we mentioned the first Teretz in the Marsham based on Rashi and Parshas Ekev that we spoke a lot about. But just one Drush as it relates to this, and that is the Aruch Laner wrote a Sefer on Chumash, it's called Minchas Ani. And in the Sefer Minchas Ani, this is in Parshas Hazinu, he said he sat down and he made a cheshbon and he made a fascinating observation. He realized that the best years that the Yidden have ever had in Jewish history were years that Rosh Hashanah fell out on Shabbos. And he said the worst years that the Jews had in history were years that Rosh Hashanah fell out on Shabbos. And he said that he was very like neshtoimim by it. He couldn't understand that both the Churban Bayis Rishon and Churban Bayis Sheni, they both happened on years that Rosh Hashanah fell out on Shabbos. He says the year that Klal Yisrael got Mechila on the Chet HaEgel was the year that Rosh Hashanah fell out on Shabbos. HaKamas HaMishkan was on the year that Rosh Hashanah fell out on Shabbos. The year that entered Eretz Yisrael was the year that Rosh Hashanah fell out on Shabbos. He makes all the Cheshbonos. So he says that the best of times and the worst of times happen years that Rosh Hashanah fell out on Shabbos. And he said, something has to be going on over here. He said, what's the pshat? See, he said, I'm going to explain it to you with a mashal. He said, there was once a person that committed a terrible crime, and the king paskin that this person was going to die. He was on death row, and he was waiting his sentencing. This person hired attorneys, and they said, there's nothing we can do for you. I'm sorry, you're guilty as charged. There's nothing I can do.
this person was obviously very depressed about what his fate was going to be. And he started talking to his chaver. He had one friend that was a pikeach. He said, you know, I know the king is a rachamon. He's not a bad guy. And I think that if you can come with an emotional plea, maybe you stand a fighting chance. So he says, maybe have your wife go to the king and let your wife come and make the case about what a good husband you are and you're a good father. And you never know, maybe ulai yachos, maybe this is going to help. So this woman went and she stood in front of the king on the date of the trial, and she told the king, and she started crying, and she didn't understand, my husband, he's such a wonderful person. And the king heard her out, said he has to think about it. He came back, and this person was acquitted. He said, it's fine, everything's going to be okay. Short while later, there was another person that committed the same exact crime. And this person, again, he was put on death row, and he was going to be executed. And he found himself in the same situation. But, you know, word gets out, and he heard that the king, you know, he has a soft spot. If the Bnei Bayis can come and make his case, then, you know, maybe you're going to be able to get out. So this person goes over to his wife, and he tells his wife, will you come and, you know, represent me on my behalf, maybe make a plea? And she was willing to do it. But the problem is, said the Aruch Laner, in the story, the relationship that this woman had with her husband was very different than the relationship that the first woman had with her husband. He said the first couple, they had good shalom bayis. They really liked each other. He said this guy was abusive. He was a disaster. She really didn't like him. And frankly, it didn't bother her so much that this person was about to be taken out. But, you know, she was abused into it. She was forced into it. She didn't have a choice. Either way, she goes in front of the king, and the king's looking at her, and the king notices that she has a black and blue. Like one of her eyes are swollen. He says, ma'am, is everything okay? Yo, everything is fine. And she's trying to give her spiel. He says, no, really, is everything okay? Anyways, he found out that not only did this guy commit the crime he committed, but he beat his wife, and he was terrible. And you know what ended up happening? They killed him, and it was terrible. Said the Aruch Laner, he said something fascinating. He said that we know that on Rosh Hashanah, we have a Saneger. What's our Saneger? Who's our attorney? Who represents us on the Yom HaDin and Shemayim? It's the Shofar. It's the Schus of the Akedas Yitzchak. He said, when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, we don't have Shofar. We don't blow Shofar on Rosh Hashanah that falls out on Shabbos. So he said, if Beis Din Shamayilad was sitting around and they're saying, there's no Shofar, what's going to be? Why don't we blow Shofar? Shemi Yavirenu Dal and Amis B'Shul Sarabim. Because he didn't keep Shabbos? Wow. Let me talk to Shabbos. And the Aruch Laner says, this is not just a joke. He said, because he brings Alpi Kabbalah, Zohar Kodesh says, Shabbos is Oisi Bein Yuvein Bnei Yisrael, Oisi Li'olam. It's the intermediary between Klal Yisrael and Kodesh Baruch Hu. The intermediary, literally the negotiator, is Shabbos. And Shabbos will come and we'll sit down and hear Hashem out and hear Klal Yisrael out and try to work something out. Shabbos is Bein Yuvein Bnei Yisrael, Oisi Li'olam. So he says, you know who comes in? There's no Shofar. So Shabbos walks in. So he says, what does Shabbos look like? He said, when Klal Yisrael takes care of Shabbos, so Shabbos walks in glowing. Shabbos walks in and looks like she's well taken care of. He said that Shabbos has a tremendous kayach, and Klal Yisrael has tremendous yeshuas from that. He said, but when Klal Yisrael was beaten and tattered, because Yidden are being Mechal Shabbos, Rechman al-San, that's when it ends up being terrible. So the Aruch Laner said that Yidden had the best years in history when Rosh Hashanah fell out on Shabbos, and they had the worst years in history when Rosh Hashanah fell out on Shabbos. And you know what it boiled down to? How the Yidden kept Shabbos. He said the years that the Yidden kept Shabbos properly, then Rosh Hashanah Shecholiyos B'Shabbos, they didn't have Tkiyah Shofar, but you know what they had? They had Shabbos. That's what they had. And Shabbos, we saw Masechta Shabbos. Shabbos is not just a mitzvah. Shabbos is not a lulav. Shabbos is a mitzius. You have to greet the Shabbos. You have to escort the Shabbos. Malava Malka. Right? That's what Shabbos is. The Chassidim are Rishonim, the way the Gemara says, and the Rambam brings it, and this Kovet and this Oynik, because Shabbos is a mitzius Ruchni. It's a mitzius. And this mitzius is literally the go-between. Beinu uvein b'nei Yisrael, yoisi lo'ilom. So what does Shabbos look like? When Shabbos walks in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Shabbos looks great, then Klal Yisrael has a Yeshua. But when the Yidden didn't keep Shabbos, that's when Rachman al-Islam, they had terrible tzaras. And that was this was a Shabbos Shuvah drasha. So we mentioned the Hishana Rabbah drasha for Rabbi Elazar Fleckless and two Shabbos Shuvah drasha from the Noida Yehuda. This is a Shabbos Shuvah drasha from Yaakov Etlinger, from the Aruch Laner, in the Sefer Minchas Ani. It was in the year Tof Reish Lamed Beis. This is what he told his Chevra. It was Rosh Hashanah Shecholiyos B'Shabbos, and he told them when it's Rosh Hashanah Shecholiyos B'Shabbos, the Eibush is going to look very carefully at Shabbos. So we shtaka b'zoicha this year, Klal Yisrael learned Masechta Shabbos, and we learned Masechtas Erevin, and I think everybody put a lot of koiches into Shabbos. We should all be gebenched with a ksiva v'chsima toiva, a good gebenched yar.